Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 9 April 2024. Welcome to this program. We're glad you're with us. And I do really truly mean that. I say it every night, but I do truly mean that. We're going to bring up a guest in a few minutes. First time I've spoken to this gentleman was this morning. I read some about him, and he actually was teaching and had been teaching for many years while we taught over the last lessons on American prophecy. We're going to discuss that with him a little bit and what's going on with that. And, folks, the teaching is available, and I'm going to say this at least to the end of this month because this teaching is so important. I cannot emphasize enough to you tonight, and I'm sure Pastor Stan will share this also, how important it is to know American prophecy. If you don't know America's in prophecy, folks, you do not understand prophecy. It's just a confusing pattern, and I know I've been there. But once you find out what the prophecy says about America, other nations that are involved with America, it opens up a whole new insight of what's happening in our world today. So the teaching is available, 3 hours of the teaching, plus we put in 3 hours of our Christian Worldview News prophecy teachings thrown in with it. So that's 6 hours altogether. And a book, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. And we'll send a copy of the outline I use for the lesson. All that for $25 sent to you directly. So just let us know by calling us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. We'd love for you to get it. And before going further, I have an announcement to make. A gentleman's listened to this radio show for many years from Pennsylvania. His name is Art. Art sent us a small donation today, and I'm just going to just mention this briefly. He had a flea market sale, and he made a few bucks, so he sent us the tithes. Bless his heart, he's that kind of guy. But he said, it's okay to put this out on the radio. He said, I haven't worked in over 2 months. He said, now I'm probably facing eviction. He said, any listeners in Southwest PA, Fayette County, Somerset, Green, Westmoreland counties, someone who may have a place for a Christian gentleman to live and maybe help with a few things, he'd appreciate if you'd think about him. He needs help. I've known this man by radio many years. And so it bothered him a lot to write this. I know it did. He said, I don't enjoy doing this, he said, but I had to do it. So anybody that may be in Southwestern PA that wouldn't mind having somebody stay with them somewhere near them or whatever to help around the place, do odds and ends for a while, let me know, and I'll get you in touch with Art, okay? I want to say that, and we're going to move on because my brother's asking for help. If we can help him, we need to do so. It's like the book of James tells us. Now, our guest tonight is Pastor Stan Grant. Pastor Stan has been teaching what I just try to teach about a month or so ago, for 30-some years, so he's much more learned in the topic than what I am. But I know for many years I bounced back and forth like a ball in a pinball machine, trying to figure out what this meant, what that meant, boom, bang, you know, just round and round and round. And finally, once I settled down and listened, what I've been actually knew for a while, I just hadn't taken time to get into it, America and prophecy, because I've been told for many years that most of you have, America's not the Bible. That's the most absurd thing I have ever heard after I stated the facts. We have been so deceived by Satan and by the enemy of the church, enemies of the church, I should say, that they have kept us so blinded to the truth. We become basically non-effective in this battle for the glory of God. Now let's go to speak to our guest, Pastor Stan. Are you there, Pastor?
I am, Pastor Butch. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I've been looking forward to this for a while, and I mean that. I'm anxious for you to get into what all you've been telling people for many years, but tell the folks about Pastor Stan Grant. Who are you? Where'd you come from? And how many times been in jail and this type of thing?
Well, I haven't been in jail yet, but, you know, if it comes as a result of resisting overreaching government, that's not a bad thing in my book.
Amen. Amen. I agree. Matter of fact, tomorrow night I have a guest on. His name is Jake Lang, who was arrested over January 6th, been in jail for 3 years, never charged yet.
Wow. Well, yeah. I haven't been in jail yet, but we've lost jobs because we wouldn't take the jab. So two years ago, we went from making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year down to zero, and God put it on our hearts to start a church here in Colorado. I have relatives that came over on the Mayflower. I'm third-generation minister, and I felt like that was a sign with the direction that America's going to get into the fight, so to speak, and to tell America who she is in Bible prophecy, because you're right 100% on what you said at the beginning of the show. It's going to make all the difference in the world, and America needs to know who it is in God and in the Scripture.
Well, you know, until you do know that, you do not understand the Bible, do you?
No, you don't. I read a quote by Charles Adele Lewis Totten, and he was the professor of military science and tactics at Yale in the 1800s. And he made the statement, he said that for the student who doesn't understand that the House of Israel is a distinct entity from the House of Judah in the Scripture, and that they're distinct people groups, 7/8 of the Bible is closed to his understanding, and he's yet in the mere infancy of Bible study.
That's very, very true. And that's why most churches that you attend today, and I'm saying this humbly, I don't mean to brag on anybody at all, because I'm just a mere mortal and learn as I go. You attend most churches, it's like attending kindergarten. They're still teaching the same thing at the top for the last 50, 60, 100 years. They've never grown beyond that. But tell the folks again who you are and where you come from and how you got started with all this.
Well, as I said, I'm third-generation minister, so I grew up in church, and my dad was an Assembly of God minister, and he got tired of the shenanigans within the denomination and left the Assemblies of God and just formed a non-denominational Bible church in Colorado. And so I grew up sleeping on the pew, and I heard him preach a message when I was 16, and he preached a message that America was the House of Israel in Scripture. And it caught my attention. And so from the time that I was 16, I spent decades after that point studying that topic. I studied other Bible topics as well. I pastored churches in Seattle, Washington area, started a church in Colorado, pastored a church in Indiana. But it just became of such supreme importance to me, because I could see that the devil was destroying this nation for our lack of knowledge as to who we are.
Amen. Amen. And this nation that calls itself Israel is a liar, and they did that on purpose to deceive the people. Schofield helped do that, as many other ministers have, to more or less neuter the church and make it ineffective in this battle. Is that not a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that is a fair statement. A lot of people don't realize that their full name is the Jewish State of Israel. If anything, they're just a very small portion of the greater conglomerate of Israel, and a lot of people don't realize that the House of Israel, when they migrated northward into Europe after their captivity in Assyria, When they migrated northward through the Caucasus, they took on the nickname of Caucasian. Well, and because they were Isaac's sons, then over time they took on the nickname of apostrophe Sax's sons, which then in time that morphed into Saxons. And so people today, the Saxon people, do not realize that we are literally the descendants of Israel, and the Saxons have reconglomerated here in the United States in the last days, or here in the West, and they formed the United States. And so we're not in the scripture by the name of America, but we're in the scripture by our people group there. Name, that being the house of Israel.
Well, now, you know, and I don't know else to even say this. A lot of the ones in this nation we now call Israel aren't even true Jews to start with, and they certainly are not. They hate Christians. They hate Christ, totally hate Christ. As a matter of fact, if you read the Bible, folks, you'll find out they cursed themselves. They said, let this blood of this man be upon us and our children. They cursed themselves. But are you old enough to remember that when they asked you your race when you were a young man, they didn't ask about black or white or Hispanic. They said Caucasian, Negroid, and Mongoloid. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
See, that's been taken away from her also to deceive us, has it not?
Yeah, I mean, there's been so much done in our nation under the name of political correctness. I mean, look at where the whole woke movement is taking us today.
Oh my. Oh my.
I mean, I just left a job because I worked there for 17 years and was in upper management, but I left the job because they're pushing everything in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and it's a shame to be a white person. They want white people to be more black, even though we're not black, and it's all about being gay, lesbian, transsexual, all this other stuff. And there's just this assault on Western Christian culture, and it's been going on for decades.
It had been, and watering us down to the point we no longer truly have a culture. But, you know, and folks, we're not belittling any people. No, we wouldn't do that for the world. I promise you, the blood of Christ will take care of all of us who trust him. But we're just making a point here as to why they're trying to disrupt the culture of America. That was founded by European Caucasians, and that most of them have a Christian faith. They brought forth the nation, at least in the 1600s, based on a Christian faith in the Word of God, and why they tried to destroy it ever since then. And in the last 50, 60 years, maybe a little bit longer, they've done a fantastic job diluting and polluting our foundations, have they not?
They have. They've done a very good job, and we've let them.
Oh, yes, we have. And the church as a whole in America has no idea what happened. I don't think a lot of them really care.
No, I don't think they do. You know, I was thinking the other day about the importance of America because, you know, you grow up in church, and I would hear missionaries come to church, and they would use Acts chapter 1, where we're to take the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost part of the earth. And they use America as the starting point for that. And so the uttermost part of the earth, as it's presented in a lot of these sermons, is someplace like Zimbabwe or Madagascar or some way that's halfway around the globe. But if you look at that scripture in its context in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was telling the disciples in Jerusalem, start in Judea, then take this outward to Samaria, then, Jerusalem, Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. That's where it's going to culminate. Well, if you look on a globe and you put your finger on Jerusalem and look on a globe, if you go halfway around that globe, the furthest point possible or the uttermost part of the earth away from Jerusalem are the western territories of the United States. And in essence, Jesus was saying, I want you to take this gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and California, the western parts of the United States, because that's where I'm going to finish this work, and that's the most important place that I want you to get to. And people don't understand how important America is, and the enemy has just launched an all-out assault to try to take this nation down through our ignorance.
I agree. I totally agree. And to see that what they've done, how they're allowing millions and millions of illegals in this country from every nation on the face of the earth come in and take down what's left of our culture, take down the idea of a republic. Instead, now we have a so-called democracy, which is no longer a democracy. It's actually a socialist network now. But to take us down and weaken us even more, and to laugh and scoff at those who do believe that there is a God, who do believe that the Word of God is to be taught and obeyed in the nation today, they've done their best to make us look like the bad guys, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. A lot of people don't even realize that America is not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, and there's
exactly
a huge difference.
Right. Used to be, anyway.
Yes. Yeah. They want us to be a democracy because with a democracy, the mob rules. The law does not rule. It's just the mob. That's all a democracy is.
And people don't seem to grasp that. You know, I've learned a lot over the last. I've been on radio 31 years last month. I've learned a lot. I'm a slow learner. I don't deny that. I don't learn very quickly, but I do try to pay attention and catch on what's going on. And to see so much happen in this country in my lifetime, and being on the radio this long and trying to warn the people about many things, about all issues. I mean, being a Christian broadcast, we discuss salvation and the blood shed on the cross of Calvary. We discuss the Holy Ghost. We discuss the gifts of the Spirit. We discuss all those things. But the church were given those powers to take the Word of God, of the truth of the Word of God, into the world and enlighten the people what's coming, what is going on now, and what the future holds, were they not?
They were, and all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to Jesus. I don't think the church realizes the authority that God has given to us.
I think you're right. Explain some of that, if you don't mind.
Well, so we tend to think of Jesus, you know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and all authority in heaven has been given to him. But he said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So we're to bring the nations into subjection to the rulership of Christ. So Christ is supreme even above the nation. And governments are to report to Jesus Christ. Families are to report to Jesus Christ. Everything is to be subject to Jesus Christ. And so by necessity, our message has to get to government. We have to influence government. We have to influence society. And we have to take the authority that God has given to us here on earth and not just wait till we get to heaven.
Well, you know, there's, and this is getting a bit off topic. We weren't here to discuss necessarily the government tonight, but it's our duty as believers, as a church, it's our church duty of the church to make sure that every sphere of society was obeying the moral laws of God. I don't care if it be an individual, a home, or a county, or a state, or a federal government, a national government. We were to see, that's our duty here, to make sure that the laws being upheld were of God and righteous judgment was given for the crimes. And people are allowed to live their lives as freely as possible without interference, as long as you don't break the laws of God. But that's been changed so much now. Brother, you probably break the law four or five times a day and don't even know it now.
Oh, yeah. I know that they say that a person commits felonies every week.
Oh, I'm sure.
They don't, you think about bringing government is into subjection to Jesus, it's really not off the topic for what we were going to talk about. Because if you look at Ezekiel 38, you've got Russia, China, Islam, Iran, Libya. You've got a whole host of communist and Muslim nations, and they don't attack the house of Judah. They attack the house of Israel, which is the United States. And one of the reasons that they do that, the Lord says that when that happens, he says, neither will I let them pollute my holy name anymore, for I've poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel. So God is going to intervene. God is going to bring revival. He's going to pour out his spirit upon this nation. It's going to be a phenomenal revival. But one of the things that he says is, I'm not going to let them pollute my holy name anymore. Well, what does that presuppose? That presupposes that prior to that judgment, we are polluting the name of God, and we're doing it by allowing government and education and law and finance and the judicial system and entertainment. We're allowing all of that to be wicked, evil, and corrupt. And God says, I don't want anything within the nation to be corrupted anymore, and I'm not going to allow it anymore. So the message is going to have to get out of the church, and it's going to have to get into all of the spheres of society, including government.
Well, you know, just as in ancient Israel, they turned their backs upon God, his commandments and laws, they become just like Sodom and Gomorrah. They become probably more wicked than Sodom and Gomorrah was. And America certainly has followed the same trait. Now actually having political debates and battles over whether women should be allowed to kill their babies or not. And they have in six state constitutions that women have a right to murder the children while they're still in the womb. Now, tell me that doesn't fly in the face of the laws of God.
Oh, we're acting just like Israel of old under Ahab
exactly.
and Jezebel.
Exactly. And if you read the Bible, folks, Ezekiel 38 and 39, you're going to hear the judgment of this nation, too. And it's not pretty, believe me. The teaching is available if you want it. That's all we do is offer it. So, I'm also frustrated. Well, we've got to get Trump back in. Trump will save us. God sent Trump. And even Trump thinks he's some kind of Messiah. I mean, I've heard him almost quote the same thing. So why doesn't the American people, and especially the so-called Church America, have their eyes open to the deceitful that no man can save this country unless we repent as a nation, and America doesn't have a chance, does it?
No, it doesn't. If you look at what God has decreed in his word, and he's not going to deviate from his word, I know that I understand the motivation of people wanting to turn things around right now, but God has decreed in his word that first he's going to have to bring judgment. And after judgment, then that's going to produce repentance. Repentance then produces revival, and that's when the nation will turn around. And so we're not going to make America great again until we make America moral again. We're going to have to mama, make America moral again before we MAGA.
Well, you know, America, it's too late for America to not come out without being punished already. It's too late for that. It's not going to happen. I know that. You know that. In 2 Kings 24:4, he told Manasseh, because you shed innocent blood in Jerusalem, he said, I won't pardon the shedding of innocent blood. And America has certainly done that and proud of it. But not just in America with unborn babies. We've shed innocent blood all over the world in the name of whatever we want to say. Democracy, I guess. We're going to save the world from communism. So how many millions have we slaughtered over that battle that we shouldn't have been involved in the first place? I mean, how many people have we deceived into that?
What is it, 60-plus million babies since abortion became legal?
I'd say close to 100 million, yes. And how many innocent people around the world have we bombed into oblivion?
You know, this. I worked for a school district before I left last August. I worked for a school district, and it's gotten so crazy that they were talking as a school district about putting litter boxes in bathrooms.
Oh, yes, yes.
For children that identified as cats.
Yes. Yes.
That's the madness that it, and it's. I think it's a spiritual insanity that's taken over this nation.
Because
we kicked God out. I mean, what else do you expect?
Well, there's no such thing as a void, so something had to fill that, and Satan and his demons, devil surely did. But, you know, this is in Deuteronomy 28:28. He said, "I'll smite thee with madness," and that's what's happened. Our nations went insane with sin, and there's many people I'm sure who see it, brother. But most churches don't touch it. I mean, they don't get involved in hardly anything. Let's just go. It's our homecoming dinner. They'll go to that. But as far as getting involved in speaking up about what's going on in the country, getting involved in, I guess they would say, politics and trying to speak the truth on that, they don't want to get involved, do they?
No, they don't. And we've actually deliberately we're in the process right now of forming a ministry here in Fort Collins, Colorado, and we have made sure that it will not be a 501c3. We're not going to be governed by the IRS.
Good for you. Good for you.
And we're going to speak the things that need to be spoken. We will not be quiet, because now is the time to speak up.
Well, you're putting yourself on the front line, and that's, you know, I haven't pastored a 501c3 church in years. We handle our own finances. We pay who we want to pay. We don't pretend any 1099 forms. We couldn't care less what the government said, because the government's not in charge of the church. There was a time in this country until Lyndon Baines Johnson tricked the church into taking the 501c3 status. The church was immune, and then the government knew better than try to tax the church, because the church was under a different head, and they knew that until we surrendered to them for the benefit of a tax deduction.
Yeah, and the church swallowed, well, they drank the Kool-Aid. We swallowed the bait like hook, line, and sinker. We were already tax exempt.
Yes, we were. We were tax immune, I guess a better word to say.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
You know, to be exempt is one thing, but being immune is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
But now we see a nation that's been deceived, that we have no idea who we are in prophecy. What's going on now with Russia and Ukraine and NATO doesn't make a lot of sense to most people. What's happened in the Middle East doesn't make a lot of sense, because they have no idea what the Bible prophesies about the last days and what's coming down on this world, not just America, but the world. They don't understand it, so therefore they're waiting for the rapture, or they're waiting for the next dispensation to come along, or whatever it may be. They have no idea how to find the solid truth on what to build their lives on. Oh, I believe in Jesus, and I'm saved. I'm not. That's great. That's wonderful. But until you understand what the scriptures tell us about the future, you really can't reach people with the entire gospel of Christ, can you, brother?
No, and brother, isn't it interesting that in the last chapter of the book of Malachi, Malachi speaking to Israel again. Now, I'm not talking about the Israel that we see on the map. I'm talking about the people group of Israel. That would be us. But he says that I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. Isn't it interesting that he does not say, I will send you Timothy the evangelist? He says, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet, because it's going to take the prophetic ministry to open the eyes of the children. We're the children of God. It's going to take that prophetic ministry to open our eyes and turn our hearts back to the Father. So I think there's going to be an increase in prophetic ministry to this nation as to who we are. It's going to be required in the coming days.
I pray you're right on that. I really haven't got that far into it, but I pray you're right. I just wonder what that's going to mean, though, to a nation that's been so long deceived. You know, I believe we're headed for civil war already. I do believe that we're going to head to civil war. Matter of fact, that was prophesied by Dimitri Duman many years ago. Civil war comes before we're attacked. I think that's very true, because America is so divided now about so many issues, and this won't be a war over states' rights. This will be a war between blacks and whites and homosexuals and straight. I mean, it's not going to be a war like we picture a war with clear-cut lines, so to speak. It's going to be a chaotic state of affairs, isn't it?
It is. I don't know how much time we got left, but if we do have time, I would like to share what I have seen in Scripture over the last 10 years and what I believe the trigger points are going to be and what some of the lead-up events are going to be, so that we can know that it's right at the door.
Well, that's no problem. We're going to break here in about one minute, then come back to break. We get another half hour. How's that?
Hey, that sounds like a good deal.
And we'll open lines up for phone calls, too, folks, at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Again, we're talking to Pastor Stan Grant. And these are the kind of men folks like to talk to. They sharpen my wit as far as the scriptures go, and I learn from them. And prayerfully, I can teach them something also, because we learn together.
Amen.
We grow together in this. This is not something that everybody has everything of. We couldn't handle it. We're fed it as we can handle it. So anyway, we're going to go to break. I know just about a minute or so here, but nonetheless, after the break, brother, I want you to get into what you mentioned, and share with us what you see and the timetable you see, because I'm curious about that myself, because I don't think we have a whole lot of time left, do we?
No, I don't think so. I think it's this year.
Okay. All right, folks, back at the break with a lot more talk about it and your questions and phone calls at 844-769-2944.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All right, folks, we are back. You are talking to Pastor Stan Grant. I'm going to tell you a little bit how you can go to his website, find out more about him and what he teaches. And I'm enjoying this immensely, and the phone lines are open this next half hour for your questions, comments, whatever, at 844-769-2944. Now, you want to share something with us, now you go ahead and share it.
Well, several years ago, I was reading Ezekiel 38 for about the 100th time, and I knew, of course, that that had to do with Russia and China and Islam and Iran and a whole bunch of nations attacking the United States. Well, you know, inquiring minds want to know more details. I wanted to know what those trigger points were. Of course, a big question in my mind was when. What are the lead-up events that are going to tell us when this is going to occur? So I was reading it for about the 100th time, and I came to Ezekiel 38:17, and it's kind of a flyover verse to a lot of people, but it just really jumped off the page at me, and here's what it says. And this is God speaking to Gog, who is modern-day Russia. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them?" Now, it's a question. It's posed as a question, but it's really a rhetorical question because it's a statement. God, in essence, is saying, God is saying to Gog or to Russia, he's saying, Gog, you're the one that I've spoken about by other prophets for many years that I will bring you against my people of Israel. Well, when I saw that, it just popped off of the page, and the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, I have mentioned this same event to other prophets in the Scripture. I have spoken of it through them. So So I thought to myself, you know what I need to do? I need to go back and I need to reread the entire Bible, and I need to look for this same account in other prophets. Now, I'm going to look for different wording. I'm going to look for different details, but it's going to be the same framework. It's going to be the grand finale where the house of Israel is attacked, and then God intervenes, and then God spares them and pours out his spirit upon them and protects them from that point forward. So I begin the process of doing that, and I found this event in Amos. I found it in Hosea. I found it in Isaiah, Jeremiah. I found out in Amos and Isaiah that literally in this war, 90% of our people are going to die. 10% of the people are going to be left.
That's the remnant.
That's the remnant that God is going to spare, and so it's going to be horrific. And so I started studying all of these prophets about what God says about Israel's final conflict, and then how God is going to intervene, protect them from the beast system that's going to be implemented here on earth. Well, then I extended that search into the New Testament, because there's a lot of prophecy in the New Testament. And, of course, the book of Revelation is all prophecy, but a lot of people teach Revelation as if it's creating the subject of prophecy. It's really not. It's being built on all of the Old Testament prophets. You've got to take the book of Revelation, layer it against what those Old Testament prophets say, and they have to agree completely. Revelation has to tell the same story that the prophets told in the Old Testament, and if it doesn't, then one of the two is a liar, and we know that's not the case, so it has to agree. So I was seeking the Lord one day, and about this, and I said, Lord, I want to see Ezekiel 38 in the book of Revelation. And again, I was looking for just an overarching framework. I was looking for the grand finale, a picture of God's people being attacked, spared, and then protected from that point forward, because that's the big picture of what's painted in Ezekiel 38. Well, I got to Revelation chapter 12. And the Lord showed me that Revelation 12 is a future event. And here's what God showed me out of Revelation 12. It says in Revelation 12 and verse 1, it says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And what the Lord showed me in this chapter, the Lord showed me that this is a future look at the war between the house of Israel and that China is going to be involved in this as well. Because all of this is symbolism. The Lord showed me that these are symbols, and I'm using symbolism to show something that's happening here on earth. The woman is Lady Liberty. You see, that woman is a symbol of a nation that is clothed in the glory of God. She's clothed in the sun and the moon and the stars, which are types of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And she's a nation that's birthed and conceived in the courts of heaven. She's the greatest nation on earth, the nation that's been the missions ascending nation in the world, the nation that's built and rooted on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Her feet are planted upon the moon. And then he showed me she's the one nation that has literally put her feet upon the moon. This is the woman in Revelation 12, and the entity that hates her is the red dragon. It's China. And the thing that brings this all to a head is that the woman is laboring in travail to bring forth a man-child that's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. So I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, if that's not a backwards look at Jesus' birth, if you're showing John something that's in the future, and this woman is our nation and the red dragon is China, then who is this man-child that she's laboring to give birth to? Well, what the Lord showed me is that this man-child is a symbol of a national leader, because he's going to rule the nations with the rod of iron. Well, the only person that can do that is President of the United States. And the thing that's different about this man-child that she's trying to bring forth, because he wants to rule the nations with a rod of iron, he's not a globalist. He's a nationalist. He wants to make the woman great again. And China hates him. China absolutely detests him, because it says that the red dragon stood before the woman to devour the child as soon as it was born. But then it says that she brought forth that man-child, and that man-child is caught up to God and to his throne. And so here's what God showed me in that. We're coming into a season. God showed me this back into 2011. In 2011, I wrote about this in one of my books. I said, we're coming into a season, from what I can see in Scripture, where we're going to see a very strong nationalistic candidate rise to the top. And his purpose is going to be to make America great again. He wants to make the woman great again. He doesn't want to cooperate with the other nations of the world. He wants to push this nation forward and put this nation first, and China hates him. But he's going to be brought forth through a very, very, very painful election. It's going to be travail, as the Scripture describes, and he's going to be assassinated. He's going to be assassinated before he can take power. And when that happens, all hell is going to break loose. We're going to devolve into civil war. There's going to be infighting within our nation because we're going to be blaming half of America for the fact that he's assassinated before he can take power. We'll devolve into civil war. It'll be blacks against whites. And when that happens, Russia, China, Iran, Islam, they're going to be waiting in the wings. They've got sleeper cells here. And that's when the dragon is going to hit this nation. And God's people are going to have to flee to the wilderness for a place of safety. And God's going to protect them there then for a time, times, and half a time, or that last 3.5 year period. And so as I saw this in the Scripture, I realized we could be seeing this develop in an election year. Now, since that time, I saw this in 2011, and I wrote about this in my book, In Defense of a Nation. So I started looking at the 2016 election, and I thought it could have been possible then. I looked at it during the 2020 election. I'm looking at this election cycle that we're in now, and I'm seeing that it's very possible because Trump is a flashpoint. I don't agree with Trump on everything that he does, and you don't have to like Trump or dislike Trump, either one, but I firmly believe he's a nationalist, and the global system hates him. And I think what's going to happen, and this is not a thus saith the Lord, I tremble to say thus saith the Lord, because that's a pretty scary thing to say. You better know that it's God.
But, that's right.
But from what I see in Scripture, I believe Trump's going to be elected. He's a strong nationalist. China hates him. We're the nation that has put our feet upon the moon. We're the woman. We're Lady Liberty. He's going to be brought forth through much travail. I mean, he could be convicted of a felony before this coming election cycle, and we could elect him through much travail. He could be brought forth this November, and if he's then assassinated, we're going to devolve into civil war, and Russia and China and Iran will make their move against us coming into the winter months when they know that the weather is going to kill a lot of people, and you're going to see an extreme death rate as Ezekiel unfolds going into the winter months.
Wow, now, that's an interesting scenario. Go ahead.
That's just kind of the upshot of it. I know that that's like a 10-minute quick version of it, but I've got videos on my website of me teaching on all this. And
What's your website? What's your website?
HeritageMinistries.us. HeritageMinistries.us, and I've got 38 prophecy teachings. I've literally got probably 40 hours worth of teaching on there.
Wow.
On this stuff. But I really strongly believe, based on what I'm seeing unfold in our world scene, I truly believe that Trump could be the flashpoint. And that's why I pay attention to him more than anything. I do not think that he can turn this nation around, but I think God has chosen him to be a flashpoint because the whole global system hates him, and something's got to bring this to a head where the nations of the world say, we have no choice but to attack America, and that's when Ezekiel 38 unfolds. So I think that he's a trigger.
That's my
opinion.
Well, you brought up a lot of points there that I never thought of before, and I'm not sure that I understand entirely, but some interesting points. You've heard, I'm sure you read the prophecies of Dmitry Dudeman. I'm sure you know him.
Yes, I have.
Right? You know,
yes.
I don't agree with anything he said. I don't agree with who he thought Israel was. That's beside the point. The point is, he told us this is going to happen in America. Before we were attacked, we would go into civil war. So what you're saying ties in with that. And again, it is no way that we can imagine, in our wildest imagination, how chaotic and how destructive this is going to be for America. With 90% of people wiped out, so to speak, when we're attacked, it's so hard for us as Americans. For most of us never went to bed hungry in our life unless we wanted to. We've always had a place to sleep and the clothes in our back. It's hard for us to imagine America that was once so great, so powerful, and for a while a pretty good country, could go this far into this judgment. But folks, it's coming. It certainly is. Let's take a phone call. I got a friend in Texas named Matt. Let's talk to Matt in Texas. Matt, come on in.
Hello, Pastor Butch.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question for your Pastor Grant. Do you believe that Isaiah chapter 1 is speaking about America?
I believe Hello? It factors in. I think yeah. Isaiah 2 does as well.
Yeah. Pastor Butch, could I read just a couple of verses here real quick?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors." And then we go down to verse 7, "Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence. It is desolate and overthrown by strangers." And then verse 9, "Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been Sodom and we should have been like Gomorrah."
Yes. Yes.
That just sounds like us to me. You know?
I think you're right. Well, what do you think, Pastor? What do you think, Pastor Dan?
Yeah, I think totally. I think Isaiah talks a lot about the house of Israel specifically, which is America, all the way through Isaiah chapter 6, where he says that the cities are going to be wasted and without inhabitant, and there's only going to be a tenth left. And so we're in the early phases of that, and I think the prophet's right. I mean, look at what's happening on our southern border. We're literally being invaded on our southern border, and strangers are devouring our strength, is what it
right,
says in Isaiah.
Right. Amen. I believe that.
Who knows how many... we'll say enemy sales that come across that border and set up in the country now, take it from the inside out. Go ahead, Matt.
Right. That's all I wanted to say. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, you're welcome. Anytime, Matt. You know where we are. Call us. Love to hear from you. Folks, this topic, if this isn't opening your eyes to some truth, I don't know what else we can do to reach you. I have no idea. I mean, I don't understand everything that Pastor Stan said. I'm not that deep into a lot of that. I mean, I'm still unlearning, and that's harder than learning, believe me. Still unlearning a lot of things that I thought I knew. I've had to rearrange in my head to understand the truth, and that takes time for me. I'm not that smart, but to understand some more of these truths and be able to recognize and realize the times we're in is so important for everybody's sake, everyone's sake. Brother, so in your opinion, and I think agree with you, we maybe could have an election this year, but if we do, it could literally lead to civil war.
I believe it could, and I don't think that civil war would be long. I think Russia, China, Iran would let us destroy ourselves as much as we can, and then they would step in. And I think then one of the leading things that they would do, I think they'd set off either an EMP or a cyber attack. And look at what would happen in America, especially American cities, if you just take down the power grid.
Oh, my. Oh, my. If the cell phones quit working, people would go insane.
They would. If you shut down electricity for the average American that's got, you know, city-supplied water source and that kind of stuff, all of a sudden they don't have heat. The grocery stores run empty. They have no water coming out of their water faucet because those are pumped electrically. They flush their toilets, and then the sewer systems back up because the sewer sanitation districts don't have a way to process all that sewage. So now sewage starts backing up into the house. And it would be famine, pestilence, and disease just by shutting off the power, either through an EMP or a cyber attack. And America is far more vulnerable than we know.
Of course, it's prophesied that they come into the nation of unwalled cities. That's us. We have very little infrastructure prepared to defend us from anything, and we haven't had to have it for many, many years because our holy God protected America for so long. But that's been lifted from us. He lifted his hand off of us, and now payday's here. Folks, lines open, 844-769-2944. Between now and election, now you tell me if I'm anywhere near right. I pray I'm not, but I do sense in my spirit, I say my gut, but my spirit, that we're going to see a lot of chaos even before election, are we not?
I believe we could. I think even possibly this coming fall, we could see the economy collapse.
Economically, as far as many people are concerned, already has. You know, they can't even pay the bills. I just read that brief letter from the gentleman from Pennsylvania. He's going to be evicted. He can't afford to pay his rent. I mean, so that's pretty much collapsed for him already. It's going to get worse, of course. But America has got to be judged. America has to be judged. If God is God, he's got to judge America. That's all there is to it. And he is. But you know what's really sad, Brother Stan? Most people that are Christians do not really understand that we're being judged right now. They don't get that. They don't understand that.
No, they just care about the big sale that's at Macy's this weekend. You know, as long as things are going good, and hey, the football season's coming up, so
well,
you know,
right.
Just life
that's
as
right.
usual. That's what a lot of people think.
Well, and most of the church has been tough so long, they're going to be raptured out. Don't worry about it. Don't do anything. The quicker it gets worse, the faster we're out of here. But I've heard them say that. I really have. And that breaks my heart because we were put here to occupy till Christ returns. The church in this nation hadn't occupied a whole lot of anything, except maybe the dinner table around a chicken dinner somewhere. But the churches have lost their zeal for the righteousness of God, have they not?
Yeah, they have. I guess that's what it means to be lukewarm. I think that's this generation. It's not hot. It's not cold. It's just disgusting.
You know, we're watching the anger build on both sides, on all kinds of different sides in this country over Trump and Biden, the sexual perverts against those who are trying to stop it. I'm watching, even here in West Virginia, one of the biggest running issues in this state are, well, if I'm elected governor, we won't have any transgenders in the bathrooms. And I totally agree. And we won't have any doctors aid our children in changing sexes. I agree. But when a nation gets to the point that even has to be discussed, it's pretty much over, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you think of what they deem to be a landslide victory. A landslide victory in any election is 51%. So if you've got 51% of the voters who are truly moral, truly sold out to Jesus Christ, which I doubt that's even the case, but let's just assume for figures, if 51% are sold out to Jesus, that means 49% of this nation is demon-possessed. And until that goes away, the fight will not go away. That's why God has to step in and judge, and that's why he's going to have to eliminate people. The next revival is not going to be a revival of addition. It's going to be a revival of subtraction. God's going to have to take the wicked out so that the righteous remnant can prevail once again.
By the way, that's Bible, folks. That truly is. That's Bible. But again, you know, we see the church as a whole pretty much useless. They don't want to get anything beyond their basic teachings of salvation, and that's phenomenal. But we weren't just here to be babies. We're here to grow in Christ and to go to war, put on the whole armor of God. But most Christians today, brother, are so weak, they're so childish in knowledge, they don't know how to use a weapon anyway. They don't know what the Word of God really is and how to use it. Let's stay right here in the state and talk to Joe in West Virginia. Joe, come on in.
Thank you, Butch, for taking my call.
Yep.
I have a curious question for our guest. The Khazars, religious Jews who live in Israel today, are they in biblical prophecy, or are they just invading? Are they the Gentiles that are calling themselves Jews, like the synagogue of Satan?
Well, I've heard a couple of different things on that, but one thing I do know is that in Numbers chapter 14, the Lord said to Caleb, and Caleb was of the tribe of Judah, he said, "To your seed I will give this land." That's because all of the 10 spies, they rebelled against God, said, "We can't take this land." But God said to Caleb, he said, "Because Caleb had another spirit, to his seed shall go in and possess this." Well, Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. And so people of the descendants of Judah have to possess that land today in order to fulfill God's word. Now, they could be corrupt. They could be rotten to the core. They could be completely anti-Christ. Because even John, if
and
you
they
read...
Are. First and they are. And they
Yes. If you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, when John is talking about the spirit of Antichrist and people that are Antichrist, he's talking about the Jewish people. So they could be completely corrupt, rotten, and Antichrist, but yet they could still be descendants of the tribe of Judah, and they haven't had their eyes opened yet. So they're walking in deception and wickedness. God's going to have to deal strongly with them as well.
So establishing that fact then, so are they the chosen people, or is the northern tribe the chosen people?
Well, they're all Israelites. I mean, the Saxons are just as chosen as the Jews, and we're all acting wickedly. That's why God's going to have to step in and judge us, and that's why only a remnant is going to be left. I mean, Jesus even said to the disciples, he said, I'm sending you out to the, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. So Jesus was even telling the disciples, the house of Israel is corrupt, rotten, and they're going to be wolves.
But he still has corrupt and rotten.
Yeah, but he's still got to keep his physical promises to us. And that's what he's going to do after Ezekiel 38. Then he says he's going to pour out his spirit, and then he's going to bring revival to the remnant. But prior to that, he's going to have to kill a lot of people. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, I don't see how people can survive in wintertime in this country without food and heat. It's
Amen.
Unless people have been prepping. Unless they're preppers. And I don't believe even myself can prep enough to keep that from happening.
Well, Joe, let's face it, get the old we are. It survived. It's hard for us to survive in the summertime. But anyway.
I know.
Good call, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good call. And we're done about the last minute and a half here, Brother Grant. Give everybody again your website and how they can maybe contact you if having comments.
Probably the best way is just to go to the website. It's heritageministries.us. Heritageministries.us. Got a media page on there that'll direct you to all the media. I've got a contact page where you can fill out a contact form, my email address, all of that stuff. You'll see my beautiful, lovely wife on there, a picture of us. If you want to read about her, read Proverbs 31. She's the best.
Hey, man. Good for you. Well, brother, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I do appreciate it very much. It's been very interesting. Can we do it again sometime?
I will. Thank you, Pastor Butch.
Good. I'll be talking to you again in the future. Keep my number handy in case you need to tell me anything I should know, okay?
I will do that. I appreciate it. God bless.
God bless, my friend. Folks, I want us to say, powerful program. Tomorrow night, Jake Lang, a political prisoner, will be with us tomorrow night. Lord willing, he'll be calling in and sharing with us in 15-minute intervals because they cut him off for 15 minutes. He'll call back in, and we'll finish interviewing tomorrow night with Jake Lang. I'm praying it works out that way. Please pray it does, too, because I want to hear what this man has to say. To get his word out to the people and what's going on with these political prisoners in America. We're in a nation now, folks, where true liberty is scoffed at and mocked. Freedom is over. They do what you want to do because they have the guns, and most Americans are spiritual cowards. I'll see you tomorrow night. God bless. Good night.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.